Hi there, and welcome along to this racing postcast. It is Monday, the 25th of October. I'm Maddie Plale, and joining me this morning, we have Irish reporter Mark Boylan and also Chris Cook, who has been speaking about plenty of stuff in his Chris Cook newsletter. So, what we've got coming up on today's show, we're going to look back at the weekend, and one of the big performances came courtesy of Luxembourg in the Vertem Futurity. He remains unbeaten now and looks a very stylish prospect, but will it be the Guineas or the Derby for him next? And if you're more in the jumps mode, then Cheltenham returned on Friday and Saturday. We saw some fantastic performances, so we're going to assess their merit going forward, as well as looking back at the old Roan Chase at Aintree on Sunday. This weekend, we've got something for you, no matter what you're interested in, with the Charlie Hall Chase at Wetherby. We've got good jump racing at Ascot as well, and Dam Royal too, which could see Frodon, Manella Indo and Delta Work clash. More of that from Mark in a little while. Let's get straight on into it then and start off on the flat at Doncaster. Luxembourg was sent off the 4-6 favourite to give Aidan O'Brien yet another Vertem Futurity Stakes. It was his 10th win in the race, and he obliged under Ryan Moore. There seems to have been mixed reviews about this performance, Chris. Which side of the fence do you sit on?
Well, you've got to be positive about him, don't you? I mean, it's not just that he's shown ability, but that Aidan clearly expected him to do that too. He's been campaigned as though he might well be the best juvenile in the yard. You know, I always think the Beresford seems to be, you know, an increasingly significant race for Aidan. And, you know, he's got a whopping great stride on him, travelled through that race nicely and come clear of, you know, horses that we expect to be talented. He doesn't race like a sort of conventional exciting juvenile though, does he? I mean, he's a big unit, and there's something slightly ungainly about the way he uses himself. He's got a bit of a high head carriage, we've talked about before on here, haven't we? There was a moment in the final furlong when he did a sort of change of legs that looked a bit ponderous, and then he had his head on one side, and you look at him and you can't help wondering if Epsom is going to be exactly the right sort of layout for him, you know, or really any track with undulations. Of course, it's only his third run. Aidan's described him as babyish. You know, maybe by the time we get to the spring, you'll be altogether more polished and more professional. But I mean, I would be tempted to think that a sort of straight course anyways is going to be a better option for him than something with turns and undulations.
Okay, so maybe the slight doubt in the head there about the 2,000 guineas, but presumably you would see him as a sort of Derby prospect, maybe Irish Derby then, as opposed to Epsom for you.
Oh, listen, I mean, he's in terms of class and ability, I'm sure he's going to be in that conversation. And I don't think there's much doubt they want to get him to Newmarket and then Epsom. So we'll find out one way or the other. I mean, he's only 4-1 for the Epsom Derby. I think if you're not on already, you know, it's now too late, because there is no twang in that price, is there? There's no room for really any doubt whatsoever this far ahead of the race. But some people have got 25s from before the Beresford, so well done them.
Yes. Mixed year for Aidan O'Brien, Mark. Perhaps not as strong in the juvenile department as we've sometimes seen. Where do you get the indication that this horse's true ability lies?
It's funny, like, you can say that it's a mixed year for Aidan, but by anybody else's standards, it's still absolutely outstanding. And I think there's no getting away from the fact that the juvenile division is, he doesn't have the same strength and depth that he would have in other, let's say, heading into a winter to a spring. There's not the same buzz that I personally feel about what he has to go forward with. You'd hope that there might be a few kind of late bloomers, you know, wants to turn out early next season or something, maybe over the next little while. Obviously, the Irish fat season winds down this week. But you know, he stands head and shoulders above everything else, and in terms of Aidan's juveniles anyway. And you know, he's still my idea of the Derby winner. You know, the fact I often find it interesting when Aidan refers to kind of how, you know, different sectionals and things like that, just to how they factor, you know, them sort of elements into their thinking. He was pretty keen on the idea that, and obviously it was previously well documented that his time at the Curragh, his closing splits were very, very impressive. Really compared favourably with Art Power in a Group 3 on the same day. And, you know, I would imagine it's going to be a similar line of thinking to Camelot when he went and his sire, go on Guineas first, to see how you get on. If it turns out that he hasn't got the gears for a Guineas, step right up and trip, and there's no issues there, and we can have a go at a Derby. you know, I think in terms of a natural cruiser, he hasn't got that same wow about him now as a Coroebus, and they're very, very different types. It's amazing how you can have juveniles that can be towards the top of the tree but shaped so differently. He's still my idea of the Derby winner. I think Dave Jennings actually, it was a good way of describing the horse. I think he called him a lanky teenager at the weekend, and that's how I kind of view him too. I don't think he's really got the hang of it yet, but he's still winning on kind of natural raw ability. That's the view I'm going to take. When that's the view you're taking and there's still a little bit to prove, let's say next season, I'm not sure 4-1 is the price either. I'd be very much with Chris there. Like, there are probably safer investments than that, but if you ask me who I think the most likely Derby winner is, I'm going to definitely say Luxembourg.
And don't forget the Vertem Futurity, the last four winners have all gone on to win classics. So it has a better recent record than the Dewhurst. Talking of the Dewhurst, the winner Native Trail is a best price at 3-1 for next year's 2,000 guineas. Luxembourg, sixes along with Coroebus. Point Lonsdale, who was an early season type for the Ballydore team at 14s. Perfect Power, Angel Blur, who we saw winning also over the weekend in France at 16s, and it's 20-1 bar. So we wait to see how that plays out, and surely there'll be plenty of storylines bubbling under whilst the jump season gets underway. And let's talk about some of the stars that show at Cheltenham then. The one that's been picked out on our running order is I Like to Move It, who beat Tritonic in the Masterson's Hurdle. I was in love with this performance, I've got to be honest. I think this horse is he reminds me a little bit of Ballyandy, who Nigel Twiston Davis obviously had so much success with. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up going for a Betfair Hurdle or something like that down the line. Similarly to Luxembourg, Chris, I just thought this horse was a real work in progress, and I thought he won on raw ability rather than being sort of the finished article. What was your view?
It could be, yeah. I mean, I like you, I was sort of impressed by the visual aspect of it, and it strikes me that that yard, they didn't have much of a season, did they, last year? And there's a few horses that are sort of just suddenly stepping up on what we've seen from them in the past year. You've got to be clear that, you know, Tritonic still comes out best at the weights. He was given, I Like to Move It, £8, and he's got beaten less than four lengths. But, you know, the way the two of them moved through the last half mile anyway, there wasn't much doubt about who was going to end up in front. And, you know, I Like to Move It, I'm sure he's got more to offer. I think probably a bit like last year, it's going to prove to be a good race. I mean, All Mankind was only third in this race a year ago. And there's Stepney Causeway from the same connections who's done a similar thing, you know, gone off hard in front and got tired. It wouldn't be surprising if the first three home in this four-runner race all turn out to be quite significant characters as we go through the season.
I think Tritonic looks like he's crying out for a step up in trip now, doesn't he?
It could be, yeah. I mean, to be honest, I found him just a little bit disappointing after he was so exciting at Kempton in February. And maybe I just, you know, got my expectations up a bit high. To me, he hasn't really reproduced that since. And, you know, sometimes that race can be a little bit about precocity, you know, and those horses don't always go on from it. So he's got questions to answer for me, but I'm sure he'll get chances.
Okay, if you're a Racing Post member, I would say go back and watch I Like to Move It's victory at Worcester at the start of the month. Beat a horse called Hermes Boy. That was a very interesting ride on that one. Definitely one for the notebook. Mark, what was your view on Cheltenham? It was good to embrace the jumps and have it back with a crowd, no less, as well.
Yeah, it makes some difference, doesn't it? In particular, you know, looking on from afar last year, I found, for all that the action was spectacular on track in March, it is a place that, you know, thrives on people, that thrives on a buzz. And yeah, even speaking to a friend of mine that was over there, you know, obviously it's a lesser crowd by some dramatic margin to March, but it's just brilliant to be back. And by all accounts, it was very, very enjoyable for those there. And I suppose the quality of the card over the 2 days, it wasn't spectacular, being frank about it. And I think, you know, I don't mean to be coming across as the Grinch by any means here at this time of year, but, you know, I need something now to really take that out of the back of my head to be getting totally excited with a view to the festival, albeit this meeting can produce some smart types.
Third time lucky? Not you think you've got what it takes to beat him in Ireland?
But, like, I mean, he was very, very good. He was very, very good. But, again, you know, he's done something nice, but he's got a lot more to prove again. You know, it was a good performance. His natural ability to take on fences and an appetite for them was the most impressive thing. I don't even think you know, margin of victory and things like that, or substance of what's in behind would be what gets me excited, more so the style that he did it. But I still think, you know, he can be a good horse now, but you still have your Bob Olinger to come, you know, over this side of the water. And that's not said with any sort of pompous attitude at all towards British, because I would love to see a brilliant season for British racing to make Cheltenham the clash that we always wanted to be. But I find a little bit of the talk about, you know, this horse being, you know, the next Arkell winner, or, you know, being bang there in an Arkell picture, I find it a bit premature, to be quite honest. He was very impressive, but there's a lot more to be done, and there's any amount of horses that will appear out of the woodwork. You know, you talk about even last season, like an Ergamine wouldn't have been on, he would have been on some lists, but, you know, if he got to Cheltenham last year for the Arkell, he's going to be second favourite to Shishkin at least. And, you know, he hadn't really jumped onto huge radars. That's, I know you were a fan of him, Matty, from pretty early on around Gorin time, but just there's so many more pieces of the puzzle that we haven't even seen yet. So trying to make the jigsaw now, I don't really try too much at this stage, to be quite honest.
Noted. Chris, what about Before Midnight? How much more progression is there left in him?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't think an awful lot. I mean, he's 8 rising 9, isn't he? And that race at the weekend, that was his 8th start over fences. But he is improving. You know, that's a personal best, according to Racing Post ratings. And he's whether it's experience or he just needs a bit of time, you know, he's clearly going the right way. You know, he's a good flag bearer for Sam Thomas. You know, again, Sky Pirate is giving him a ton of weight. I think it comes out as a personal best for him as well. The winner, I don't think he's necessarily one of those horses you're going to see a lot of during the winter. It's, you know, he's a Son of Midnight legend, and like a few of those, I think he, you know, a sound surface is really quite good news for him. We're at that stage of the jump season, aren't we, where quite a few of these horses are going to miss out much of the next 3 months and maybe come back in March and April. I always think that Badger Beers, which is still a couple of weeks away, is a great trial for the Whitbread, you know, sort of perhaps counterintuitively. He's hard to pin down, isn't he, Before Midnight, because he made all there. And, you know, with those horses, you never quite know where the bottom of them is. I think he can go up the weights and win again.
Okay. Our colleague Lee Mottershead wrote in his piece at the weekend about Gordon Elliott returning to Cheltenham. He had 2 winners over the Friday and Saturday meeting. The latter with Definite Plan, who won the 3-mile, 1 furlong handicap chase. Mark, that would have been a big relief for Gordon Elliott, I feel, getting back into the winner's enclosure at Prestbury Park. How do you see the remainder of his season building from here? Is it business as usual, or not quite that yet?
No, I kind of imagine so. Like, I'm not someone that just, you know, I'm not oblivious to what went on. Gordon isn't oblivious to what went on. I think, you know, some degree of acknowledging that is fair enough. And Gordon spoke on ITV Racing, and, you know, he didn't shy away from speaking about the topic of the, you know, that obviously landed in such controversy come the festival last year, or last season, I should say. But, you know, yeah, I think they went over there with a solid team without it being any of their A-listers, and came away with a couple of winners. Top Bandit, thought in terms of winning rides over the weekend, for all that he was a 15-8 favourite. Thought Davy Russell was the Davy Russell of old. It was very, very good. And Jordan Gainford, another notable win for him at Cheltenham. Seems a go-to rider for some of them handicap chases for Gordon. You know, a guy that's really going places. He fired in another double at Wexford on Sunday as well. But yeah, as far as Gordon is concerned, like I get the feeling as time goes on this season, it's going to be kind of going further into the rearview mirror, really. You know, there is obviously some acknowledgement that it has happened, of course. But, you know, I think the quality that he has to go to war with, for all that he lost the Cheveley Park horses in there, a massive blow to not only lose them, but then have to take them on every day of the week at home. That is a blow, but he's still got a fair deal of quality there. And I'm sure Down Royal this weekend to be firing plenty of good bullets at it.
Yeah, more of that in a little while. So stick with us. So many other good stories and good performances at the weekend. Haven't even spoken about Kansas City Chief for Victoria Malzard yet. She won the Potemps Handicap Hurdle qualifier. And also at Newbury as well. But let's get some eye catchers to keep an eye on for next time. Chris, I'll go to you first. Has there been any horse that's sort of shining on your radar?
I've got one noted down for this weekend, but not because of anything he's done recently. Does that count?
Yeah, go for it.
Mengli Karnas, he's entered up at Ascot, and you know, he's one of those. He had a change of stable. He went to Nicky Henderson last season, did nothing, and as a consequence, he's dropped down the ratings. He's on 140 now. Is his rating over fences. People will remember him from when he was based in Ireland. You know, he was running well in quite, you know, in top class races. I'm sure he was third in three grade ones. If he can be got to where he was a couple of years back, he's way better than the rating of 140. And maybe first time out might be quite a good time to catch him. Nicky's already been having more winners than you would necessarily expect.
Okay, so Mengli Karn for Chris, looking forward. What about you, Mark?
There was action at Galway over the weekend. We actually have more today in the Flash on Bank Holiday Monday over here. I thought the performance of Six Shooter in the 2 mile six beginners chase on Sunday was pretty notable. Won really nicely, and you'd imagine a step into graded company is forthcoming. But just maybe one there, he's won an ordinary beginners chase by all accounts, but I thought Fire Attack, there were more positives than negatives to be taken about his chasing debut at Wexford on Sunday. It was the 3:45. He's a horse with lots of ability. Like, I mean, for all that over hurdles, I think he's rated somewhere in the 130s, 132. You know, you get the impression that he is a fair deal better than that. He was 8-1 for last year's Martin Pipe. You know, he mixed it in plenty of good novice hurdles last season. But I did Joseph O'Brien's stable tour last week, and he... As everyone could tell from watching the horse, he acknowledged that he isn't the most easy ride in the world, but fences could just be the making of him. I'm not saying it was an electric chase in debut by any means, but he might be one now that come springtime there could be nice prizes to be won with him. It's just the sort of thing chasing could maybe put manners on him in a way, or get him thinking in a different way. So Fire Attack for me as one that won without blowing me away. I still think there's an awful lot more left in him.
He's been a bit of a buzz horse, hasn't he, Fire Attack? Hopefully he'll be able to deliver on that promise, as you say. Not straightforward. Another horse who initially wasn't straightforward was All Mankind, but he's turned into the ultimate professional now, and he won Sunday's Old Roan Chase at Aintree. More of that just after this.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to the Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
The focus of our review point has now come to All Mankind. He was sent off the 9-4 favourite for the Deuce and Monnie's Garden Old Roan Limited Handicap Chase at Aintree yesterday on Sunday. He made all, wasn't fluent at a few fences. Try and say that when you've had a couple of drinks. But got the job done ultimately off 11/12 under Harry Skelton. Beat Itchy Feet, who had run well in this race before. Myself and Chris, I know we found an eye catcher in behind. But first off, let's tackle the winner. Interesting, I thought, Chris, that Dan said he might not run him again this side of Christmas. Would you think that's the right decision?
I'm certainly not going to second guess Dan Skelton. You know, he's fastest rising, isn't he? And also, it's interesting that they haven't been having a whole pile of winners lately. They've had a little bit of a change of direction. I think they're tilting their operation more towards midwinter action, whereas maybe in the past, you know, through the autumn with dry ground, they'd have been very busy. So, you know, I always say you've got to love a horse that wins when the yard's relatively quiet. And he's put up a really big performance there. It's probably a mistake, isn't it, to excuse me, to keep asking these horses to run every week when, you know, he's won a handicap off a mark of 160.
Do you think there should be more of them? Do you think this was sort of a real celebration of what top handicap chases can look like?
I very much enjoyed it, although I could have done with actually backing the winner, which I didn't do. I think there's plenty of these races, and you know, if you have more of them, then you're putting the horse population under stress. Handicap chasers, particularly once you get above 2.5 miles, they can't run every couple of weeks, can they?
Indeed. And I won't steal your thunder. Who was the eye catcher in behind?
Well, I mean, I'm sure everybody saw it. It was Fanion d'Estrival. Was an amazing thing because, I mean, you know, he dropped out the back of the telly from really quite an early stage. You know, you sort of discounted him. And it was only really as they were going past the post that suddenly he's right up there in fourth place. He was only beaten four lengths in the end. I mean, you know, maybe other people did better than me and spotted him advancing through the race, but it completely escaped me. You know, sort of instinctively when that happens, you think, oh, step up in distance and you'll win. I'm not sure that's the thing for him. He's done quite a bit of racing at 2 miles. I think probably, you know, a bit soft ground at that distance. He looks like he's ready to win. I don't know what Venetia might have in mind for him. I saw somebody suggesting putting him back over hurdles might be a good way to go. But you know, either way, you're going to pay close attention to wherever he turns up next time.
Yeah, Venetia Williams not had many runners or winners, really. But I suppose that's par for the course at this time of year for her. So I'm sure that stable will be firing on all cylinders when the rain comes, Chris.
And they also, I think, I'm sure I remember in some seasons gone by when you sort of see the first few Venetias appearing about this time of year and you assume they're going to need a run. And like one or two of them are all very obviously ready to go. Particularly, I think she likes to do well at some of these Ascot meetings that are coming up. So, I mean, yeah, generally speaking, I think of her as the Queen of January. And, you know, when the ground gets really bad and they all start winning all over the place. But you give them all a look.
It's that valuable Grade 3 London Gold Cup this weekend, so perhaps you'll have some ammunition to fire there. Mark Allmankind, where would you go with him next? I mean, his record at a track like Sandown, I'm half surprised they wouldn't give the Tingle Creek a go, but that might be flying a bit high.
Yeah, fair enough, Manny. I do like the idea of putting him away because that's a monster effort from in terms of you know, expended energy, you'd imagine, running a race like that. And he just answers every call. I mean, you'd have to... For all that, you know, he maybe isn't my favourite horse in the world. You know, I haven't crazily warmed to him. Yesterday, I had massive admiration for what he did. And, you know, he's been really, really tough. And for all itchy feet, he's finishing off. And it was an encouraging run for Ollie Murphy. He'll take a lot of positives from it. I still get the impression that if he was joined, Allmankind would have pulled out more again. So I think mid-range trips will probably be comfortable enough for him. And, you know... Maybe, you know, you're looking at the 2 mile division this year. You know, you got your Energamines, Shishkin, Shaq and Porsois. You know, there's others there. I'm leaving out, put the kettle on, etc. But it looks a really, really spicy 2 mile division this year. And I think the fact that you wouldn't have stamina concerns about him over 2.5 on a track like Aintree, you know, things like the Melling, and you know, I wouldn't be afraid about bypassing Cheltenham for a crack at that. And if you wanted to then go gung ho for a celebration and keep him a little bit fresher again, you know, I wouldn't be. I like the idea of putting him away. For all that we want to see these horses running, to ask a horse to reproduce that sort of effort that he produced yesterday, it can be a big ask and it can leave a mark. So I think Dan Skelton is on the ball here. For all that, as Chris said, I wouldn't second guess him. He's an excellent judge.
Yeah, he's a funny horse, isn't he, Allmankind? The Skelton team have clearly got a good handle on where he is. He almost does everything wrong. And I think, talking about itchy feet, the year 50-50 will have arrived by the time he's not running on looking like he could have won a race, but that's just him. Let's move on then into this weekend. As I mentioned at the start of the show, the Charlie Hall, which often people regard as the start of the jump season. It has about 5 different beginnings, whatever your view, doesn't it? And Mark's also going to take us through Down Royal, which should be a real treat on Saturday. So stay with us.
Be sure to watch Racing Post Live with Betfair for racing reaction, tips and discussion live every Saturday afternoon on the Racing Post YouTube channel.
Welcome back to this Racing Postcast. We're going to get some best bets for the week for you very shortly. But before we do, let's have a chat about what's coming up this weekend. Looks a fantastic weekend, really. The jumps is really kicking into gear now and should be quality action wherever you look, really. The Charlie Hall, Chris, I looked at this and I thought, not sure, but you're thinking it could be quite an interesting race.
I am reasonably enthused about it. I mean, there's 8 horses and you sort of need them all to stay in there. Kitty's Light, I think they're just having a look because they're on their way to the Ladbrokes Trophy. But, you know, he's such a game horse. You know, he adds a lot to, you know, whatever race he turns up in. It'd be great to see him in there. Inevitably, you know, he's going to be at disadvantage at the weights because you've got much higher rated horses like Surname and Shan Blue in there. There's Mighty Thunder. You know, let's have some love for the Scottish National winner, who was only a novice last season, wasn't he? Fusil Raffles, Clondalk Castle, winner of the Racing Post Chase, as was now the Close Brothers, I think it's called. So yeah, look, if they all show up, I'll be satisfied enough. You've got to remember, this is just it's a staging post, isn't it, on the way to the meat of the season.
It is, and I think maybe I was being a bit harsh, Naive, but you've took me through them, given me some more detail, and it's probably swayed me a little bit. Surname, of course, so impressive in this race last year, Racing Post rating there of 173. That's the 305 at Wetherby, the Charlie Hall Chase, Grade 2. Who would you be looking forward to most in that, Mark? Where do you stand on the Marmite horse that is Surname these days?
Just what version of him turns up, Maddie, because if the Surname that, you know, beat Altier, the Surname that, you know, can deliver the performances we know he can, turns up, you know, he'll take all the beating here. But he is a real riddle to solve. And this is a race that closer to the time, when you get the final field, maybe we'll be able to pick something. But the eight runners at the moment, even from an each way perspective, if we're to lose one from a betting point of view, it would lose some of its luster for me. But it'll be informative with a view to task later in the season, potentially, as put touchdown there, Kitty's Light and the Ladbroke. Particularly interested in that angle. But lots of good action over the weekend anyway.
Yeah, the 230 at Wetherby, the Bet365 hurdle. We often see Ladbrokes Trophy horses running in that, don't we, over hurdles before they go over the larger obstacles. Could be quite interesting this year with the likes of You Never Call, Slate House, Run for Oscar for Charles Burns, Prashima.
Master
Paisley
Tommy Park. Tucker is interesting there, Maddie, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I was just getting to him. what do you make of him then, if we're talking of horses that divide opinion?
Yeah, well, like, again, it could be an inspired move bringing it back over hurdles, couldn't it? He's 2 for 2 over hurdles. You know, it's one of them things. He has the shape and the tools to make into a decent chaser, but, you know, he is prone to a mistake here and there. So, obviously, Sam Twiston Davis, I should say, even, was pretty spectacular on him behind Fakir Doudary last year in the Melling. So, yeah, I'll be watching him with interest now. He could be an interesting one. He's 10, though. It doesn't feel like he's been around that long, but... interesting to see what way he progresses this season.
Yeah, he had a big chunk out, didn't he, with injury after his novice hurdling campaign.
Yeah.
So that starved us of seeing him. What about Down Royal, closer to home for you then, Mark? Talk us through what we've got to look forward to, because the action is varied there.
Yeah, just where do you start? Yeah, it's very, very deep by the looks of it. I'm literally coming to get my first glance at the entries for Friday that have landed. And, you know, we know this card has a history of producing quality sorts. We know Gordon Elliott targets the meeting really, really strongly. And, you know, whether it be in the maiden hurdles, the WKD, the champion chase, any of them, the bumper, he always has a smart type or two. And he's got some interesting sorts here. The WKD hurdle, Jeff Kidder, the Fred Winter winner, or the Boodles, I should say, winner, is back over hurdles after trying to exploit his flat mark this summer. And Zanna here is in there too. Quilixios, the Triumph winner. That'll be a tidy race if those three turn up. And there's a couple of nice novices as well. Jerry Colomb, Hollow Games in the maiden hurdle. There's a grade 3 mares hurdle there that can produce Sky Ace last year. Grade 1 winner. And obviously then Vanillier is in the beginner's chase too. An extended 2 mile 3. The Albert Bartlett hero. Be interesting to see how he gets on. But Grand Parody is a horse I've got a lot of time for Gordon's as well. He's also entered up for alongside the likes of Beacon Edge, French Dynamite. You know, there's a lot of depth to what we're seeing. And although he's not a horse that personally I've had any great insight into, American Mike is one name that I've heard floated around as a potentially smart bumper horse for Gordon Elliott. I think he won his point to point for Sean Doyle in April by about 20 lengths or something like that, and he cost 195,000 at the sales. So I think he's priced around 16 to 1, 20 to 1 for the champion bumper. And if I'm right, I think we see Sir Gerhard on this card last year, so it'd be very interesting to see whether he takes his chance, because there has been a little bit of excitement about him. But obviously it's a long time to go between now and Friday with what works out. But interesting nonetheless.
Certainly. That's why people listen to this podcast. So much information. And hopefully Mark has unearthed one to watch for the rest of the season there. Horse in Gordon Elliott's yard. Chris, any other thoughts on the weekend before we get your nap? Ascot, I mean, that's going to be interesting as ever. We're going to wait to see where the horses are divided between there and Wetherby, and indeed Down Royal, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I was just picking my way through some of those entries for the big Ascot handicaps. The trouble you've got is there's quite a few horses with double entries, so I think I'm going to keep my powder dry for the time being. You just got to see how the ground plays out and where these horses actually show up.
Okay. And of course, sorry, I'm after neglecting to mention the field that we have. It'll be whittled down tomorrow at the next entry stage, but the grade 1 Ladbrokes champion chase. Milan Indo reportedly on track to run here. The Gold Cup hero, that'll be fascinating to see how he gets on, possibly taking on Frodon. And Delta Work is another possible there as well. Gordon's got plenty in there. Galvin is another. Sam Crow, you know, there's lots of well-recognisable names, but be interesting whatever happens when we get the next field tomorrow. I think I'm right in saying that's when they land. But we're expecting Manel Indo, hopefully, and it'd be great if he could put on a show. And even Paul Nicholls, if he wants to take a chance, bringing Frodon over here. And we know he can be ready early in the season. And I like it. And Paul was rewarded for being bold at Punchestown when bringing Candazobo over here. You know, he's got a great history in this race. I think himself and Gordon shared the record for most wins in the race. Caught O'Star, obviously, won it a couple of times. So, I'd really love to see that. It'd be a great early season treat for us.
Just before we move on, Maddie, I mentioned the weather there. I mean, what's in my mind is that, in particular, up at Wetherby, they might get a proper deluge on Thursday, you know, right before this sort of important two-day meeting. You know, my forecast is it's going to move around a bit over the next couple of days, but it's predicting something like 15 to 20 mils of rain in Wetherby on Thursday, which will make a difference. Of course, the Lucinda Russell, Peter Skuen, where they've got their really exciting young novice chaser, Ahoy Senor, that won the Grade 1 at Aintree, beating Brave Man's Game in April. He's entered at Wetherby on Friday, and they could really use that rain to just make sure that it's good, safe ground for him making his chasing debut maybe at Wetherby on Friday.
Yeah, was pulled out at Carlisle recently, wasn't he?
That's because right, yeah.
There wasn't the juice in the ground. Let's get the naps then. Who are they this week?
This will not be beaten.
Chris, I'll go to you first. What's piqued your interest?
Am I allowed a Tuesday nap, Maddie? Is that going to be too soon?
Yeah, of course you are.
Oh, go on then. There's a horse called Enthused with Joseph Parr, who's a trainer I like. He went off the boil a bit at the yard, actually, but they're back winning again. And this one sort of joined him in the middle of the year, did nothing for a couple of starts, then showed quite a bit more on soft ground at Nottingham last time. Stepped up another quarter mile at Catterick tomorrow. It'll be soft again. He was 40 to 1 the last day. I don't suppose we're getting that this time, but I'm sure he's got a win in him for this yard.
Okay, just clarify the race time and the horse
that's
there.
That's used in the 2:40 at Catterick on Tuesday.
Fantastic. And Mark?
Yeah, there's a horse, obviously, as I said, we're winding down here in terms of turf racing for the winter. It'll be Friday nights at Dundalk if you want to get around the flat over here before long. And Conversant is one that I think might be able to make amends for a little bit of a blip this season after starting off well at the Curragh, or at Navan, I should say, earlier in the year. I think that getting a bit of ease in the ground before we head off, this will be absolutely right up his street. He's been running over 7 furlongs, 6 furlongs in recent weeks and months. He's back down to 5, which is the last trip he's won over. And we know he likes the Curragh as well. He won here over 6 in 2019 as well. So he's down to his last win at Mark. You know, there's just a lot of positives for him. He runs at the Curragh tomorrow at 4:05. So Conversant for me, hopefully he can give it a right rattle.
Wonderful. Best of luck, guys, with your bets, and you too, listeners, wherever you are going to end up this week. Please make sure to rate, review and subscribe. As usual, Bruce will be back on Friday with his usual detailed look at the weekend's racing. Fingers crossed we can all back some winners before then. Until next time, bye-bye.